That's the quality. Okay. Boker Tov. Yes, good morning. We are starting a new book. Bruchim HaNimtzayim. Bruchim HaNimtzayim. I'm looking here. You can have that. We are starting a new book, Sefer Bamidbar. And of course, as always we say, things don't happen just by accident. And if we're reading Bamidbar just a few days before Matan Torah, there is a reason for it. So first of all, the idea is, when we're looking at the two first psukim, we learn a very interesting point. Vayidaber Hashem el Moshe b'midbar Sinai. There's a mentioning that Moshe is talking in the desert, in the Sinai desert, which is also a very, we all know they're there. Why to mention it? And then, Vayidaber Hashem el Moshe, last week it was Har Sinai, the mountain of Sinai. Again, telling us a specific position where it is. Yes.
You say we all know that they were in the Midbar.
Yes.
But it's not necessarily an acceptable explanation, because the Torah is not a storybook in chronological order. The Torah talks here and it goes there, and it's not chronological.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. But there must be a reason for everything. Absolutely. What you're saying is exactly the point. If the Torah is telling us here that we're talking in the desert of Sinai, there must be a reason. And if the Torah last week told us the mountain of Sinai, it's also a reason. What is it? So they say, Chazal say that in three things we receive the Torah. Be'esh, be'mayim, ve'bamidbar. Fire, water, and desert. And by the way, that's a very interesting thing, because fire and water and desert can go on the wrong side and can go on the good side, like everything in life. What is fire? Fire is passion. Now, it depends where it goes. If it goes to the Torah, unbelievable. Because the Mount of Sinai, when we received the Torah, was a whole fire going on. Then water goes everywhere. In other words, even if I know nothing, the water can go in. And even if I know a lot, still the water. You all know this, the famous story about the lecturer came to university in front of his students. He put this big aquarium on the table and start filling it up with rocks. And after it's full up with rocks, he says, "No, what do you say? Is there any space for anything else?" He says, "No, it's full." So he brought small stones, and he put them, and they fall in between the big rocks. He says, "No, what do you say now?" He says, "Of course it's full." So he says, "No, it's not full yet." He took sand and put it over, and the sand went in. Now he said, "No, what do you say now?" He says, "Oh, now it's full. Sand, rocks, stones, there's no place for anything in." He took water and poured it in, and it got him quite a lot. He says, "You see?" And that's exactly what is the Torah. The Torah can go, even if you think you know everything. And there is always the Torah there, the water of the Torah. So water is also, as we say, it's connected to the heart, and I'm not going to go into it. But the main point is desert. What is the connection between the desert and receiving the Torah? It's very interesting. What is the desert? And we now connect the desert and Mount of Sinai. First of all, the desert. All of us, I assume, went once or twice to Eilat. On the Arava road, it's a long road, desert on the right side, desert on the left side, and you go for miles, only desert. Stop the car in one of those places and walk into the desert. By the way, if you're going through to Eilat, don't go left. Because if you go left, you can get to Jordan by mistake. Go right, okay? Now, you go right, walk for 5 minutes. What do you think you're going to see now? What is the feeling now? What's your feeling? You're alone in this big desert. Do you feel God? You feel God. Because you feel you are nothing. You see the creation, how big it is. You get the fear of God. And the fear of God is the basic thing before we receive the Torah. Reshit Chochma Yirat Hashem. one of the puzzling thing is that says Yaiv chokhma lechachamim. God gives wisdom to those who are clever. So if I'm not clever, how am I going to get clever? If God gives the Torah only to those who are clever, what's going to happen with me? So the explanation, the simple explanation is Reshit chokhma yirat Hashem. The first thing in chokhma is the fear of God, to understand and realize who God is. Now when you understand, you're filled up with anava. How do you say anava? What's
humility.
The best?
Humility.
Humility.
Bitul.
Yes, bitul. Humility is a little. It's a little. Okay. I always try to find the right, a better way to say anava. But okay, we go with it. But we understand anava. We're not talking about something that is humiliating. It's like the feeling that we are nothing. Only when you get to this level, you can receive the Torah. So you see the desert, and the desert tells you, here, that's the creation. See those big mountains. See the sand all over. So then God chooses to give the Torah on the Mount of Sinai. What is the Mount of Sinai? The Mount of Sinai is the smallest mountain in the desert. So from one side, we see the greatness of God, of the desert. From the other side, the Torah is being given to us on the smallest mountain to tell us that yes, to see the Torah, you have to get the fear of God, of His greatness. But you have also to get the midat ha'anava, to understand that you are nothing. And God chooses to give the Torah through the lowest mountain to tell us that that's the way to receive the Torah. So now we see the connection between Vaydaber Hashem El Moshe Bemidbar Sinai to the last parsha, which was the mountain of Sinai. And now let's understand another point, which is also very important.
Do we know what mountain is
Sinai? They say they know, but yes.
Because they call it Jabal Musa, but
Jabal Musa, I don't know. They say even there are stones.
The two stones to Jabal Musa.
Yes, there are stones that they say that the snake is in it. It's very interesting. You cut the stone and it's always there. The
really?
Same. Yes, yes. Yeah. Where something, there is a stone that they say that it's from Har Sinai.
Yes.
And you have the snake in it. The bush, the bush.
Ah, yes.
The bush. And you cut the stone and it's always there. The bush is always there, like the sign of the bush.
Yeah.
That's very interesting. But the thing is that...
Nobody knows.
You see, that's the interesting thing. The temple, the place, is holy. Mount of Sinai is not holy.
Not holy?
No. It was holy only for the moment they received the Torah. You know why? What's the difference? The difference is what we call, they call it in Hasidut, they call it itaruta del eila v'itaruta del mata. There is things that come from heaven, and there are things that come from here. And what is from here from us? In other words, whatever we did, it's going to stay forever. Whatever God did for us, it's only something that He did for us, but it's not going to hold if we are not having a part in it. In other words, what happened on the mountain of Moriah where the temple is? Akedat Yitzchak, Adam HaRishon, Noach. This was sanctified by our deeds. And because of this, this is sanctified forever. The Mount of Sinai, God gave us the Torah. Of course, it's an important place. It's got a certain holiness in it. But the holiness is because God chose at that moment in time to give us the Torah there. So it's not important now where it is. It's important that we daven not to the Mount of Sinai. Where do we daven to? The Mount of Moriah. To Yerushalayim. To Kodesh HaKodeshim. Which is on the Moriah, on the Har Moriah. So this is for to understand how important it is what we do. It's not receiving everything from God and that's it. Because if that's why we prepare ourselves in Sfirat HaOmer. For 49 days in order to receive the Torah. Because without preparation, there is nothing. We need to prepare ourselves. Otherwise, there's nothing there. And then the Torah tells us another important thing. Tzu et rosh kol adad ne Yisrael mishpechotam lebet avotam. It's also very interesting that we are counting the people here. So to count the people says, tifkod otam, do accounting. No, tzu is raise up the heads of all the children of Israel. Lemishpechotam, to the families, to the house of the fathers. Bemispar shemot, a number and names. It's also very interesting. So we see the connection. We are individuals, but we have a family, and we have our fathers, and we have also names. We're not just a number. We all know the stories on the Holocaust. When you meet somebody that's been there, one of them says, you know what they did to us? They put the number on us, like to show us that we are just a number, no name. They were not called by name, they were called by the number. And here the Torah is telling you that you are not a number. You have a name. A name shows that you are important. A name also puts me in a certain place. And here, the Torah tells, in order to get to the level, you have to be connected to your family, to your heritage, to your fathers. That's the only way that you're going to be able to raise up your head. So even the counting here is telling us something very important. That we are individuals from one point, from the other side, we are connected. And we have to be connected, because otherwise there's no meaning to nothing. We are going to be just another number. And that's what the Torah is telling us later on. When the Torah is telling us about the flags, in Perek Bet, Ish al Diglo, Beotot lebet avotam, again, the house of the fathers, Yachanu bnei Israel mineged saviv lo el moed. Ish, what is Ish? Individual. Each individual will have his flag. In other words, so what the Torah is telling us, that we are individuals, we know. So we should keep our flag for ourselves, and what's with all the others? Mineged saviv lo el moed yachanu. We are not the same. Each one of us got different qualities, different abilities, and the idea is that we have an ego, as we said, talked about it last week also, and we have to use our ego. But our ego has to be a part of all Am Yisrael, of the Klal Am Yisrael. In other words, yes, you are an individual, and you have to keep it this way. Ish al diglo, each one's got his own flag, his own mission in life. But the mission is a part of all Klal Am Yisrael. You have to connect it to everybody. And that's what the Torah is telling us. In order to receive the Torah, in the work of Sfirat HaOmer, is to get to the level that each one of us will build his own abilities. Each one of us is going to be his own person and not a number. And also, humility. You have to be like in the desert, and you have to have the fear of God. Then you can get the wisdom of the Torah. If we are building ourselves in the right way, preparing ourselves. And what is the main basic of it? We say it all the time. Ve'ahavta le'reacha kamocha. That's the basic of everything. Unfortunately, in the world, sometimes people love animals more than they love people. I read an unbelievable story last year. It was, this story happened, I just want to see where it was. In Cincinnati, in the United States. You know, before this, the Rav Berman says, an unbelievable story about the Mashgiach, the Rav Spieler Zatzal, that one of the students once asked the Mashgiach and told him, after he had a talk with him, the Mashgiach told him, you have to know, in the human nation, the humanity is being divided to two parts. Do you know what it is? In other words, there are two things that you, how do you say, identify your human race. Two things, only two things. What are they?
Medaber.
So he tried to give all the answers. Medaber, like he's got an Shama, he's got... He says, no. He says, you have those who think and those who don't think. It's very interesting. He says, those who don't think, they like animals. They just do whatever they want to. They don't think too much. I want to eat, I eat. I want to sleep, I sleep. I want to this, do this, I do. And he says, all humanity, not only the Jews, everybody in the world. He says, if you think, it means that one day you can get to the conclusion that there is a God. And then you can be a part of Am Israel. Not only the Jews. Of course, the Jews, of course, have to think. But all the world. He says, divided to two parts. Those who think and those who don't think. Those who don't think, you've got nothing to do with them. Those who think, they have the potential to get to the right position. In other words, Motara Adam in Ma'ayim, what is the difference between a human being and an animal? The power of thinking, the seichel. That's what is the neshama, by the way. That's the neshama, by the way, yes. But you have to use it. Not go like, that's what we do in Sfirat HaOmer. We started with being like animals, like beasts, with the seorim, which is a food that animal eat. And we're finishing Bezrat Hashem next week with the chitim. Shtechalot chitim, which is the food of a human being. So there is hope. Always there is hope if you think. If you don't think, there is no hope.
When I used to do my tax returns, the tax consultant used to tell me that only two people, kinds of people in the world, those who pay tax and those who don't pay tax.
Everybody sees it from his point of view. And you see, I read this story. There was this, in Cincinnati, there was this, the zoo, and they had a gorilla. And a kid, by accident, fall down into the cage of the gorilla. You remember this story? Yeah. It was, the, I think, last year or something, a year ago.
Max. Yeah.
Honeybee, Mamabee, they've got this name. And you know, the guards shot the gorilla in order to save the kid. And they had a film and things. And then everybody went against the zoo, against the guards who killed the zoo. They did a whole thing. They had a site on the internet, Facebook, people for Hanabi, the gorilla, and how terrible it is that they killed. And nobody talked about saving this young boy's lives. That's to show you what is the difference between thinking like the Torah wants you to think and thinking like the going thing. Kids' life were at stake. They said, no, it was a good, it wouldn't hurt him. What do you mean? What do you want? That they start checking if the gorilla, you know, did you see the size of the gorilla?
Yeah.
Did you see that? If you saw the film, the child is like this.
Like,
and we'll, whoo, just have to give him one punch and that's it, finished. And the whole world went crazy to protect the gorilla. I'm not going to read everything they wrote. It was unbelievable. So, first of all, let's put things in the right proportion. And this way is only one way. What did Avraham Avinu say to Avimelech? I always use this phrase. Rak en yirat Elokim b'makom azeh v'araguni al dvar ishti. There is not a fear of God here. You have everything. You have manners. You have culture. Does it remind you something? Everything you have. You are a beautiful nation. But you haven't got the fear of God. It means there is no fear of God. The minute it will touch your own desires, what would you do? You will kill me because of my wife. What did the Nazis do? We're talking about numbers. They are the ones who put numbers on us. And from the other side, they took their god, their dog, and cuddled him. Gave a kiss to the dog and went out and killed the Jew. That's what we're talking about. Said Avraham Avinu to Avimelech, Rak en yirat Elokim, there is no fear of God, that's how it's going to end. So first of all, we see the basic of everything is the fear of God. You can look from the outside beautiful. Manners, you've got everything. But if there is no fear of God, you've got nothing. Because the minute you will stand in a test, you will fail. Because there is no fear of God. Now, what is the fear of God? Does God want us to fear Him? If somebody thinks like this, didn't understand what we're talking about. This is what they call Yir'at Aromemut. If you love somebody, really love him, really love him, do you want this love to last? Are you going to do anything that is going to ruin this love? No. God loves us, and we love Him. What God wants to us to understand, what is the fear of God? To understand how great God is, and how terrible it's going to be. Not is going to punish us. It's going just to leave us. Do whatever you want. This is going to be terrible. That's what God wants from us. Love. It's like a lot of times people think we are called Avdei Hashem, and we also called the children of God. So people sometimes do the mistake. They think that the idea is to be a slave of God. That's not the idea. We are slaves of God, but the idea is to be the children of God. Slave of God is a level. It's a very good level, by the way. Alevi will get to this level. But the real level is Ve'ahavta l're'acha kamocha ani Hashem. When you love your fellow man, you love God. And when you love God, you don't want to do anything that is going to ruin this relationship. And if you understand how God, the greatness of God, it's going to make it even worse. So you're going to be more careful. And talking about Vahavta l're'acha kamocha, I want to finish with this interesting story. Personal story, just about thinking in a way that is going to help us to love everybody like we love ourselves, which is very difficult. It's not easy. A lot of, you know, it was very interesting. I was once talking about that first of all, you have to love yourself. And afterwards, a psychologist came to me. Not a psychology? A psychiatrist came to me. And he told me, you know, I deal with people all the time. You know what's the main problem of our generation? People hate themselves. One of the treatments is to teach the people to love themselves. And that's what God is telling us. First of all, you have to love who?
Yourself.
If you don't love yourself, you cannot love nobody. And this psychiatrist came to me and he told me this thing. I said, unbelievable. I couldn't believe it. He said, you don't understand. Most of the people that I deal with, the problem is self-hatred. Sin'a atzmit. They hate themselves. So first of all, let's love us. Let's love ourselves. It sounds good. But not just to loving ourselves. Love, to love our fellow man. I was standing in one of the Erev Yontef in one of the big supermarkets. I don't remember what it was. And I chose the short line. I had only two things in my hour. Unfortunately, you know, it's like they say Murphy Laws.
Yeah.
They had this cashier start the first day. Everything was going so slow. I was seeing those big lines going chick-chack, chick-chack. And then in front of me I had two customers. One was a lady, I don't know, the age of 40. The other one was a lady with a daughter. And the one with this had this full car. And they, you know, they have those special, how do you say the agalot? Special wagons. That you can put double from the normal. And it's going so slowly. And I was always thinking, okay, I'm going to leave the stuff and go home. But Zach, be patient, savlanut, v'avta l'racha kamocha. Then I saw something amazing. The lady with the daughter told something to the daughter. The daughter went to the other side and they were starting. She was taking out the stuff for the other lady, putting it to the cashier, and then the other one was putting it into bags because otherwise the whole thing was packed and nothing moved. And I says, wow, this is v'avta l'racha kamocha? Unbelievable. Then I thought, one minute. Who is she really helping?
Herself.
Why?
Because she is going to be the pastor.
Says Ribbono Shel Olam, this is Ve'ahavta L'Rehecha Kamocha. It sounds doesn't sound good, but that's the real thing. Because if this lady and me are brothers and sisters, and are a part of me, if I help her, who do I help to?
Myself.
I help myself, but I have to understand it. So here I saw it. If you help somebody, eventually it helps you. Here it was very clear and very egoistic maybe, but the idea behind it is to understand, yes, if you help your fellow man, if you love him, it's the same way as you love yourself. You are helping yourself.
God loves him who loves himself.
Yeah.
I'm saying that we all get to the same point. But the lesson was unbelievable. When I thought about it, I said, oh, look how great, what a great. Then I said, what great? Who is she helping? She's helping herself. I said, 1 minute. In other words, if I help my friend, what is God telling me now in this picture? You're not helping him, you're helping yourself. So this is, let's say, an engine that will help us to help others, to understand and realize that who are we really helping? Even if we don't see it as in the supermarket. But that's the way it works. You have to understand it. Whatever you give. But the thing is, don't do it because you want to get something. Do it because you want to help. That's a higher level. But inside the head, in order to ask, b'toch shelo lishma, balishma, we have to start this like this. To understand, first of all, that whatever you do is helping yourself. And helping all Am Yisrael. And I hope that really we will understand and realize, yes, each one of us got his own qualities, his own abilities. Each one of us is a whole world. From the other side, don't forget that we are a part of Am Yisrael. And to get to receive the Torah, we have to be as one. And the part of being as one is to understand if I help and if I love everybody, it means that I love myself, I love Am Yisrael. And when I love Am Yisrael, I love God. And when I love God, I will get to receive the Torah, and Bezrat Hashem will receive the Torah and be Zoyche to the Mashiach Tzidkeinu, b'mehra bi'ameinu, amen.
Amen. Amen.